And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, if you would, and in chapter 1. And in our exercise of God's Word, and we were reminding ourselves in the book of Ephesians, in particular chapter 6, we have reminding ourselves that all of the wonderful benefits that God has made possible by way of Calvary's cross, all of those benefits for humans, takes place, and when the human heart believes and trusts in God, that's all. Go on. You can go up to anybody and just tell them to receive Christ as their Savior. And with a little more than that, you'd want to say, but in the process, that's all they have to do. And in one moment of time, they step from outside of God to the inside. And they enjoy, they have all the benefits. God has given us His Word, the oldest book, if you want a book of history. I think John Laud, in his great set of history, if I remember reading it right, he said, if you want to know history, go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. It's the oldest book of history there is. So here we have God's Word, and God has a wonderful plan, and we need to go and exercise it when we believe and come to know Him as our Savior. So, and we pick that up from Joshua in the period of Israel's history when they were of one mind and one heart, all 12 tribes, as they proceeded down the corridor of time, and they had that wonderful unity, and God did awesome things, as we shared. That's what got us into Ephesians chapter 6. So, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and if I can, I think before we do chapter 6 again for a moment, go with me over to chapter 2 and remind you when a person needs to come to know the Lord as their Savior. And when they receive Him as their Savior, God saves them in a wonderful way. What are they saved from? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked, you lived, you behaved yourself according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lust, desires of the flesh, our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And we had that. We were caught up in the world system, by the world system, the god of this world, the devil himself, the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this world system, as we mentioned, and he's the boss. So we have an old nature, and we were caught and born into this system. And therefore God, we were up against. So when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, God rescues us into himself. Now, in doing so, we're caught up in the world. So, chapter 6 now. And in chapter 6, because we're caught up in the Lord, and God has done a wonderful thing in saving us and helping us in every way, so wherefore, chapter 6, what happens? So I thought we're not under the god of this world. No. But we're up again, we're still in the world. chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So therefore we need the whole armor of God now. So, and you remember, as you would when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, if you did, God bought you with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20, and over again, 1,000 different ways. God bought you with a price. You're not your own. God took you. He took you. That's why in Romans 6, 13, you are told to what? Reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, verse 11. Verse 13, since you and reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, you have a life, a wonderful, wonderful, the reality of life. And you yield yourself, all your members, eyes, ears, nose, legs, hands, heart, lungs, you yield them to God. You're bought with a price. So God took over in your body. He is now resident, as we shared this morning, resident in your heart. And the two, you and he, the two of you, as it were, have a new, unique, wonderful relationship to who he is and what he has in mind. So when we receive him as our Savior like that, and God saves us, but the world system is still here, our old nature is still here, and therefore, verse 11, we need to put on, like clothing, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles, the deceit, the trickery of the devil. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand, to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, to be able to withstand in verse 13, that you would be able to withstand, to resist, and without turning there in James in chapter 4 and verse 7, God says what? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the same word. What are we doing, God? We're putting on the whole armor of God. We're going to be conscious we're not our own. We're bought with a price. God has taken over. That's important. Underline that in your mind. God has taken over the hands, the eyes, the everything. God has them. Oh, we're vessels of dust. No question. We got an old nature. No question. No debate. But God has taken it as a vehicle, as a vessel, for him to demonstrate his wonderful gospel, the wonderful good news that God has made possible such a unique, marvelous redemption. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so we have to go and understand the whole armor of God and what that does. Now, as we did that a little bit, and remember now, again, if you can, here's our Lord, and our Lord was born in Bethlehem, and in the process, what did they try to do? As we shared, I think, this morning, Herod tried to go and kill him, did everything he could to kill every baby born in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, kill him, and he did. That's what he did. He killed them. What? Do you make sure you get rid of the three, the wise men? And there's not three of them, but wise men. They told them, and Herod scouted it out and calculated the birth when they saw the star and therefore made 2 years. So I'd cover every baby that's there. So, trying to kill him. And we shared this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're trying to kill him. And they tried to kill him and kill him and kill him. You couldn't kill him because it wasn't his time. So in the process, here we are looking, here's the Lord Jesus. He's facing the devil, Matthew chapter 4, into temptation directly. the devil. And therefore, and the people, Judaizers and the system, trying to kill him. Now, having said that, here's all these trials, and then the trials and the punishment. Three Gentile, three Jewish trials, and beaten up like no man, Isaiah says it, 52 and 53. You wouldn't recognize him. He's so beaten up, you won't recognize him. No. Now, what happened? God, you're on. What are you doing? You became sin for us, and you became the sacrifice to pay the penalty. So you went to the cross. And when you went to the cross, all of this was upon you, all of it coming at you. The world system was there. Darkness was there. All that put to try to put out the light and your saving grace. And now they couldn't stop that because it was your will to die on the cross. And therefore in the process, you died and you bore our sin in his own body in your tree. Now, what else happened, God? And when you did that, as we should, I don't want to jump ahead. When you did that, you had something wonderful happen. You paid the price, underline. Now, go back over to Matthew and chapter 10. Matthew and chapter 10. And may I pick up the thought, we read it just to remind yourself, and me, if you can, Matthew chapter 10, remember our Lord sending out his disciples, etc., to bring the good news that he was there and he was going to go to the cross. So, chapter 10, sliding over as you can to verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. I'm sending you forth into the world to tell them I'm going to go to the cross and pay the price and set you free. Now, so you slide over back to chapter 10 and slide over to verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear God. Don't fear the evil. Don't fear the bad. Don't fear the bad guy. Look to God. Why? Because you're sheep in the midst of wolves. I'm going to leave you like that. Don't be alarmed at it. It's all right. It's all right. What I'm doing. Verse 29, chapter 10, 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Verse 31, fear ye not therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. I'm very conscious of your being. I know the hairs of your head. So don't be afraid. You're going to get clipped maybe, but don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. I have overcome the world. Now, as we seek to do that and put that in mind, back over to Colossians, where we were. And if I can, in Colossians, picking up, please. Oh, let me get there. In Colossians and in chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, and going in the light of everything, chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 9. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are the believing heart. You are complete. Remember, like the word full in verse 9, verse 10, complete. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also you are circumcised, not with the flesh. No, that didn't do any good to save anybody. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without, underline, no hands. God did what? He took you to the cross and paid the price. And you died. You died. Therefore, verse 11, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, Christ died and paid the price, and therefore took all of our sin from top to bottom, from head to toe, from day one we're born to day two that we die. Verse 12, buried with him by baptism, identification, Christ died, we died. Christ is buried, we're buried. Christ rises again, we rise again. Therefore, I'll read verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through faith of the body of Christ, through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now, so God, when Christ died, I died, we died. And then Christ went and buried us. As we shared the other day, Christ buried us. So you want to see where we are? And I can point, because when he rose again, he gave us newness of life, death, burial, and life. So I can point. You want to see why you're a child of God, why you have such an awesome, sure relationship? Why? Because Christ died. Now you say, boy, it cost. Yes, it did. It cost him. It cost God his son to die for me and you, for us. So therefore, here we are looking God, and what are we going to do? If someone says something, and we're living sacrifice, we're believers, and I can say, here, I can point to the cross, an empty cross, and I can point to the burial. And when you bury the body, you know they're dead. There's no question about death. They're dead. You just don't bury. If you put them in the ground and cover them over, there's no more air. You're dead. I point to the burial. There I am in the ground. Christ buried me, crucified me and buried me, and gave me a newness of life, a relationship to God. That's how we did it. I'm to be a living sacrifice. And there. So you want to know why? Why is it true? Because Christ died for me and us to save us in a most wonderful way. Therefore, being dead, verse 13, etc., being dead in your trespasses, in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And you are forgiven, absolutely forgiven, from start to finish. And if it isn't forgiven, you're not going to get to heaven. God had to die for every drop of anything and everything that could be ever go wrong in your life and mine. That's why you're saved. That's why God says when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. You don't just have life. You have eternal life. Where is eternal life? In the person of Jesus Christ, who you received as your Savior. There is eternal life. In the living God. God in Christ in you. There is your life. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, now we want to get to verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, the law and all that said, the wages of sin is death, and that we were guilty from stem to stern. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And so God paid the price. The law says the wages of sin is death. The law is paid, the penalty is paid, and God puts the debt on the ties the bill, says paid in full, pardoned, paid in full. You want to look? What's there? An empty cross, paid in full. That's right. Ah, now what we're after. Verse 15 again. And having spoiled principalities and powers, to spoil them, to dispose, to wipe them clean, to go and wipe away something, to wipe it away, to take it away, to clean it away, to clear it. Can't find it. What did you do, God? I spoiled them. I spoiled them. They will never do anything to me again in my perfect humanity. They'll never do anything. Anything. They did what they did. They'll never do it again. Never do it again. And thus, you're never going to have that happen again. And I have defeated them. Go hold your finger here a sec. Well, you can't for time. If you had time, John chapter 12. And if you turn there, don't turn there. But if you did, Christ said, listen, I have judged when I went to the cross. When I go to the cross, chapter 12, I'm going to judge the world system. The world system is going to be judged. I'm going to judge the devil and his demons and everything else. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, and I am going to make sure that I seal that on the cross. That's where they're going. They are judged, finished. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Seated there. Now, risen, seated. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind to begin, so here we are, and you remember in all of these to see it. Remember, we don't have to turn there, Matthew chapter 12. And you remember that God tells the people, his people, Israel. He said, give us a sign. Tell us, give us something that we could believe. After all the signs and wonders and miracles and works, and they kept saying it and saying it. So there was no sign that would ever satisfy him. No matter what he did, it would never satisfy them. Now in the process, so therefore, the only sign he's going to give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and Jonah was swallowed up back onto the beach by the whale, by the great fish God created. And threw him up on the beach. God said, for 3 days and three nights, I'll be in the heart of the earth dead. My body, physical, my human part, dead as it were. My body is in the grave. I should say just the body in the grave. And on the third day, I will rise again, first day of the week. And when I rise again, I'm going to walk. And what I'm going to show, I'm going to be seated at the right hand of the Father in my perfect humanity. Now, and being seated in my perfect humanity, so God, what are we going to do? Well, God, you're going to go and put us there in a most wonderful way. Yep. So when you know, you know, to turn there in Ephesians. Well, you're not far away. No, don't. We got to finish. We got to finish. I'm losing it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show, a public exhibit. He made it so that you watch it like a big display. I'm going to make a big thing so you see it. I'm going to show you. Show you what? I have defeated the enemy, principalities and powers that are after you. They can't get you. They're there. When you got saved, God saved you. He bought you with a price, and now here you are. And put on the whole armor of God. You're going to trust God and look to God because he bought you with a price. And you're going to go and enjoy God's wonderful, wonderful person in a wonderful way. I'm going to exhibit my victory. Not your victory, my victory. What do you mean? You went and took us to the cross, and when you took to the cross, and you rose again, and you gave us a wonderful life. I'm going to demonstrate that. And there's no principality and no powers, no evil, the devil himself. Resist him. He will flee from you. He can't touch you. You're free. I have won the battle. Won the battle over all the evil and all the bad in the world. I'm demonstrating. You didn't do it. God said, I did it. I did it. And I'm going to be in your little life and demonstrate that, that you are more than a conqueror, what? Through him that loved us. That's what I'm going to demonstrate. You're sheep in the midst of wolves, but the wolves can't eat you. They can't touch your life. I have given you my wonderful victory. I am demonstrating, let me finish, Colossians. And having spoiled principalities and powers, verse 15, and powers, there's the two words, made a show, very public display, exhibit of them openly, so you can't miss it. Triumphing over them in it, the cross. I defeated them. It's all done. I displayed it. I said, it's finished. And I was weighed, buried, and rose again. That's what I did. I'm all done with it. All done. They have this. It isn't their time to get sentenced yet. We have to go through the Armageddon. We have to go through tribulation and Armageddon. We have to finish the job, but the judgment is already issued. They've lost the battle. They've lost the whole game. They can't win. They can't win. Oh, we're going to keep the world, and they get the whole world to go against God. But they can't overcome my wonderful presence in your little old life. They can't overcome that. I have given you victory. I am going to demonstrate who I am, the risen Christ seated at the right hand of God. I'm going to demonstrate that in your little old life. And that's what I want you to understand. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. God said, you're what's triumphant. I'm going to demonstrate it. Boy, the enemy and all the problems, all are there. Matthew chapter 10, don't be afraid of them. The most they could do, if I want them, they could hurt your physical body. They can't touch you. You're a winner. You're a winner, period. No matter how you do it, no matter whatever way you want to say, you're a winner. You can't lose. Now put that together with this warning. You're a child of God, period. Now you're a child of God, and you yet are going to become all that I want you to be. Nothing's going to stop it at all. It's done, finished. Wow. So therefore, triumphing. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind if I can. So, and looking to God to help us in all of this. So, if I may, well, we'll do it a little differently. Over if I can, 2 Corinthians and chapter 2. And I hope we got a little bit. So, 2 Corinthians in chapter 2. And you'll notice, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, if I may. And in, well, chapter 2, verse 14, directly. Now, remember now when we did 2 Corinthians, we shared when you hit 14, God has a whole section now where he's going to help the Corinthians who are trying to struggle in the flesh and do what they do. And God says, you need to trust me and understand. And Paul said, I'm going to tell you how life works. You have a wonderful relationship to God. Exercise it. And then he has all those verses. Now, here's the first one, verse 14. And now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. There's your word. He triumphed over the enemy. That's right. To triumph in Christ. That's where we triumph. We don't do it in ourselves, that's for sure. And the system isn't going to do it, and no other thing is going to do it. Only God can do it in Christ. Maketh manifest, public, clear, plain, the savor, the fragrance, the odor, the fragrance, the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So every place you go, you're bringing God. You bring God to the kitchen, you bring God to the bedroom, you bring God to the bathroom, you bring him everywhere. Wherever you go, you're demonstrating that God, Christ died on the cross and saved you from the system. The whole system's caught up in what it is, but you're a believer, and the believer is to be enjoying the wonderful victory that God has given. You'd never know that across the world, probably, very much, but it ought to be. It ought to be because God has made it possible to enjoy. You never have to doubt, but you do doubt, but you don't have to. You don't have to get discouraged, but you do get discouraged, but you don't have to. You get discouraged, disappointed, depressed, and a thousand other words, but you don't have to. You don't have to do that. You're free. You may do it, and you will do it to prove that you're human. You got that? You know, I can worry just as good as you can. See, you want to be disappointed? I can be disappointed and bitter, just as bitter as you can be. See, good. No. God does a wonderful, wonderful thing. And that you're triumphant. And that's what you keep. And finish. Verse 14. And maketh manifest the savor, the fragrance of the knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. So the believing heart is encouraged by your believing heart. And the unsaved person is discouraged because you're a believer. And you have something, and all they can do is say, I don't believe, you're wrong, it can never be, you really can't be a new creature in Christ. God really can't be at home in your heart. That really can't be. I'll live with that so that I don't get discouraged. I have to think you could never be saved like that. And actually, you are saved like that, like we just did this morning. You really are saved like that. See, I don't want to believe that. Now, and therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, and you know, if you know, and without, well, where are you? Over to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, here's the Apostle Paul demonstrating what is the world going to do with the demonstration of our newness of life that we're saved. Chapter 1. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The world thinks it's silly, what I just said a minute ago, that you're a new creature in Christ. God really, really has found his home in your heart if you're saved. No, it's foolish. So Paul, what are you going to do in that great cosmopolitan city of Corinth in southern Greece? What are you going to do with that? Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, as you know, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm going to irritate the britches off of you. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to keep telling you, Christ died for you, and he died. And I am a living example of receiving God's saving grace. And so you can see foolish and you can say whatever you want. It happens to be real. And I'm real and God is real. So there you go. There you go. Wow. Now, take it from there. Now, so God, that's what here's Paul, having said that. Now, so in the process, God, having come to fight. So here we are looking in the process, and we think we put no white flags. Okay, got to do that part. We have to jump a little bit, but go over with me, please, if you would, to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Don't do it. 2 Timothy and chapter 4. 2 Timothy and chapter 4. And you'll see it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and if I may. And chapter 4, 2 Timothy, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Now, I'll read verse 2. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Four, say it while you can say it, because pretty soon you won't be able to say it. Four, for the time will come when they will say they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want doctrine. They want to know the truth. They will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's what they're going to do. Now, they're going to have, they don't want sound doctrine. The little word endure is to hold up, to lift up, and using it in a military way. We're going to go to battle, and I take my spear and I hold it up. There's the flag over me. I represent Rome or something, and I have the spear, and my spear goes rising up, up, to lift it up, to lift up the hand, the spear. I got it. Ah. Now, God, here we are out there. Now, and we have no white flags. You never say, well, maybe you're right, you know. Maybe I'm wrong, you know. Maybe God really didn't do that, you know. What can I tell you? It may not be. Well, I compromise. I hold up my white flag. Let's not argue about it. Let's just love each other in a state of death. And let's just do it, okay? Okay. See, there's no white flags. No. God has no white flag. You and your old nature, and I do, have white flags. We have them all the time. I don't want to be a problem. You see? No. God has given us what? He has defeated the enemy. He is demonstrating the enemy has been defeated. He spoiled principalities and powers, not just the world system, politics and power. No, the oversight, the devil's system with all of its powers over the system, that he's defeated. And thus this is powerless down here against you. And therefore, you bear the whole armor of God. And what are you doing? You're letting God what? Tell you, because he bought you with a price. Christ in you said, I'm not a loser. I've won. The battle's over. You're going to live in it because I haven't finished with what I'm going to let happen. But they aren't going to get you. The most they could do is kill you if they want to, but they can't kill you if I don't want them to. So you can't do anything. So just relax and just go. And so you're going to go. And they will not endure sound doctrine. And people say, boy, as we get near the end, as we're going now, the end of the age, and you watch it's happening, all kinds of churches and all kinds of ways, and God help us and protect us from ourselves. In the process, we don't get caught up in it. Wow. No, we don't want to. It's happening. It isn't going to stop. It's going to keep going. You got to wave the white flag. White flag and down. No. No. His banner over us is what? Is love. And we hold it up. No. We're winners. I'm not a winner, but Christ in me is a winner. And I represent him. You represent him as a winner, God, that we spoiled principalities and powers, and they are useless against us. They can do what they want, but they can't get us. They can't stop. We never have to put a white flag up. Therefore, if I may, in 2 Thessalonians, and in chapter 1, and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, picking up, the Thessalonians were under great persecution. That's in northern Greece. And under great persecution. So when we come to chapter 1, verse 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. There's the same word. They endure them. That's right. They hold the same word, to hold up. They endured them. They held on. They did not compromise. They did not back away. They just held their own. And they had every right to do so as they put on the whole armor of God. They had every right to do so. And that's how they were to be more than a conqueror in a good and healthy, holy way. Therefore, God, the Thessalonians, they're winners. They're going to win all the way to the end. They're looking for a soon coming. They're getting clipped, persecution, trouble, heartache, and headache. But they're winners. They're winners. They're more than a conqueror through Christ who loved us. Sheep for the slaughter, but in the same breath, more than a conqueror. You can't beat them. You can't beat the believing heart, no matter how you cut the cookie. You can't lose. You can't lose. And you can say, well, they're going to touch you, do whatever you want. You can't change the truth and the reality of God's saving grace. Wow. Now, you got the idea. And therefore, closing verse 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 12. The reason that they're doing all this, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified down the road. No. Let's try it again. You're enduring, you're hanging in there, right? That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. You're a winner. Be one. Like we said this morning, you're a child of God. Now you're a child of God. And you haven't even got where you're going yet. Do it. Do it. You're a winner. You're a winner. Therefore, in verse 12 again, according as the grace of our God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, God said, listen, and the Thessalonians, they're believing. They're believing in God because God is glorified in them. Even though Paul said he said, all I tell you, you think it's foolishness. It isn't foolishness. But I'm going to say it to you anyway so that you say, you can't say I didn't say it. You can't say you didn't hear it. I told you it's true, but you don't believe it. Therefore, God is going to be his Thessalonians getting clobbered and clipped in whatever, persecution, death, whatever. And in the process, what do they say? God is glorified in them because they endured. They held up. They didn't have a white flag. No white flags. No surrender. No white flags. No negotiation. Like in the Second World War, Germany and Japan, unconditional surrender. period. That's the only way. Unconditional surrender. And you sign it. There are no conditions. You just sign, you're finished. God said, no white flags. You're a winner. I gotta quit. Our Father in God, we thank you for your word, your grace. Help us understand, God, the armor, your wonderful presence, God, to demonstrate your wonderful saving grace, even in our little lives. So all the things we could worry and fret about and worry about and doubt and get angry and bitter and all the other things, God, we lay them at the cross, on the cross, and you have set us free to be able to be more than a conqueror through your wonderful grace. And we thank you and thank you and thank you. Help us in every way. And you said it, God, your greater are you in us, 1 John 4. 4, you said, God, greater you are greater in us than he that is in the world. That's in us, God. You're greater. Your God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. And perhaps we could sing 635. 635. Six, three, five.